said, and as Brother Eric said, we deem that we deserve for this sun to come, that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly, that we might have it eternally, that we might have it victorious.
Yes,
and
yes.
So as we continue in everything to give God thanks, because out of our spirit of gratitude, out of our spirit of appreciation, out of our history with God, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and who are the called according to His purpose. I want to know, do some people out there love the Lord today? Do you really love Him? Are you willing to do a little bit more for the Lord? Hallelujah. Because He's done all. He's given all. And He's continuing, even right now, interceding for us, praying for us, making sure that we fulfill our purpose and our destiny in Christ Jesus. I'm excited today, beloved, because there's a spirit of praise and worship. There's a spirit of excellence in this place. I even feel a spirit of anticipation. God is about to do a new thing among us.
Yeah.
Indeed, I would say God is making some changes right now. The spiritual winds are blowing on God's people, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to him and to the church, so that we might be obedient, so that we might have our steps ordered by the Lord, so that no iniquity, no sin, no transgression will have dominion over us.
Amen.
As Elder Wiggins says, hey, the world has its way. The world has its system. But greater is He. Say this. Greater is He.
Greater is He.
That is in me.
That is in me.
Than He that is in the world.
Than He that is in the world.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
praise
Lord.
His name.
Yes, Lord.
Let me get going, beloved, because I'm excited today.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You and we bless You for this wonderful occasion. We thank You, Father God, for Your awesome Spirit in this place, Lord God. We thank You, Father.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
Oh, for this tremendous season that we celebrate, Lord God, not only in Christendom, but around the world, Lord God. That people recognize the joy. They recognize the peace. They recognize, oh God, the significance of having good relationships, Lord God, with their fellow man. And we, Your people, Father God, we know the real reason for the season. And that reason is for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, triumphantly, in and through Him. Father, let Your word go forth, that Your people might hear, people might be encouraged, people might be inspired, people might be delivered, people might be set free, people might, oh God, recognize and experience, oh God, Your love in a new and a refreshing way. And we know, Lord, Your word cannot fail. That which You purpose to send it, it shall, oh God, accomplish that. And we thank You, Lord, and bless You in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Beloved, it's no mystery to us, the season that we're in, and we call it the Advent season. And the Voices of Praise did such a wonderful job ushering us into this season through their praise and through their worship. And so I just simply have come to continue to encourage us, continue to inspire us to know that even during this special time, that we're living in a unique time in history. Not only do we look forward to Jesus' second coming, but we celebrate the fact that He has already come. Amen. We celebrate the fact that we have the evidence of Christ in us, and that as His representatives, as the ones that He is imbued with power and with authority to do greater works, that as we understand and we embrace the fact that God is in us, that's what Emmanuel means, God with us. So not only is He with us, He's in us. And so during these unique times in history, we should be people of joy, people of peace, people of thanksgiving, people of hope, people who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that a better day is yet to come. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the spirit of Christmas, when God had his son come into the world so that people might have hope, they might have salvation, that they might have an eternal life with God through the Son. And so, beloved, I'm not going to be with you long, but I do want us to take a look at the Word of God. And if you would, turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And I want us to examine verses 1 through 5, and then we'll skip down to verse 10 and read through verse 14. Once again, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1 through verse 4, then we'll skip down to verse 10 and read through verse 14. If you don't have your sword, the words to the Holy Writ are being projected on the screen. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Hear ye the word of the Lord. The apostle and prophet John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, thank God for the but. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. And beloved, for the next few minutes, I want to speak on the topic of the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, when we examine, going back to the beginning passage in verse 1, John has been given special revelation from the Lord himself. And he says, in the beginning was the Word. Now we need to understand who the Word he was talking about and how that Word became manifest. And for some of you, I know it's review, but it excites me to know that God thought enough about us. He deemed us worthy enough to send his only begotten Son into the world, born out of a love for you and I. And so when we look at the meaning, when you look at that word in the Greek, it's logos. And that means intelligence. It means thought. It also means the spoken word. And so Jesus Christ represents the spoken word of God that was manifest in the earth. And we understand and know that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, you don't have to turn there, but in the annals of the heavenly places, before the foundation or the creation of the world, the Lord had already predetermined that he was going to create man and woman in his own image, and that he was going to establish them on earth, and he was going to give them rulership, authority, management over the earth realm. But he also knew, being omniscient, that man would fail his assignment. And so he made provision for man's verity. He made provision for man's sustenance. He made provision for his greatest creation, man, to have a way of escape, to have a way back to him. And so what he spoke in the heavenly corridors of time, he manifests in the fullness of time. Hallelujah. And the word of God, the thought of God, the expression of God became his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us very clearly that in him, Christ Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Hallelujah. And so God understood and knew that his son had to come into the world. And his son volunteered out of a love relationship for his father. He said, look, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, it says, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. And so, beloved, we celebrate the fact that God has come into the world and that God is in the world and that God's purposes, God's plans, God's intentions are to be born and manifest through you and I as we have accepted him. For as many as received him, to them he gave what? A power, authority to become the sons of God. But the text says, in the beginning was the word. And so what we must understand is that Jesus Christ not only was fully God, but he was fully man. And so he was in the beginning, not from the beginning. Hallelujah. Because all things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him all things were created by and for him, for the Father. He was part of creation from the very beginning. Yeah. So he is God. So he's in the beginning. Yeah. He's the pre-existent God, if you will. Yeah. And he understood and knew that he had to model in the flesh what it means to have a relationship with God. And he had to actually experience the infirmities, experience the diseases, experiences the trauma and drama that you and I have to go through in this life so that he can be counted worthy as our high priest. And so the very expression of God became reality in the beginning. And it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Everything that we see with our visible eye, natural and even spiritual, the Bible says, was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Hallelujah. Every person that exists, who were born into this world and died, and who exist even to this point, have Jesus Christ to be thankful for that life. For God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten son. He loved the world because when we come into this world, we were what? Formed in sin, shapen in iniquity. And so he has given all of us life. So even for the unbeliever, Jesus Christ lights the life of every man, the Bible tells us, that comes into the world. So we have Jesus to thank for our very existence. But he doesn't want us to just have an existence. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants the light of God, the illumination of God. He wants the mindset of God, so that you and I can be transformed from our sinful, selfish human nature, so that we can understand and know that God has a higher purpose and that God has already given us everything that pertains unto life and unto godliness through the Son, if we would but receive him, if we would but possess him, if we would but walk in obedience according to his word. And his word is only of two commandments when it boils down to all things. And that is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so if we love God, we accept the fact that he has given us the most precious gift any human being could receive. And that's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But unlike gifts we get from humankind, we are charged to share that gift. We are charged to make that gift known in our spheres of influence, because that's what God did with the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He became the only begotten of the Father. Let me talk a little bit about begotten. You see, that has a double meaning. In the Greek, that word begotten means carried out. It means manifest. It means something that has been spoken before. There it is. So the Word of God spoke the fact that Jesus Christ would be the one who would come and who would crush the serpent's head. The seed of the woman would come and have victory over the wiles of the devil, over all of his systems, when the seed of promise came into the world. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But begotten also means conceived. Just like women conceive children from natural childbirth, that word begotten means conceived. And so we know that through the Virgin Mary, the Holy Ghost came upon her, and the power of the Most High overshadowed her, and she found herself pregnant with the Son of the Highest, the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. And so God had to show us through the Son and through even the natural birth process that He loved us enough that He sent His Son to experience from day one, even from the conception in the womb to the birth of the Jesus Christ, through Him growing in favor, growing in grace with God and man, till Him ultimately going to the cross, shedding His blood, dying, but being raised on the third day, so that you and I might have the right to the tree of life. So His life is inextricably bound up in our relationship with Him, all because He loves us, all because He deems us important to Him, far above anything else He created. Do you know angels are even a little jealous of us?
Well,
hallelujah. What is it that Thou art made man and you know, the Son of Man that Thou visited them?
Yes.
Hallelujah. They were perplexed. God, why do You love this human being so much that You sent Your only begotten Son? You even allowed Him to suffer, bleed, die, be raised on the third day. Why? Because of His love for you and for us. And that's the message of Christmas. That's the message that we need to be purveying for the Lord and conveying on His behalf. And so that light, it says, shined in darkness, and the darkness did not understand it. It did not overtake it. It could not be victorious over that. And that light that is in you and I, that light cannot be quenched. That light cannot, hallelujah, be overcome when we allow the light, the revelation, the anointing, the power of God, through our obedience to the Spirit of God, when we allow Him to have preeminence in our life, we never fail. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody, you had a good chance to say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know, we get challenged.
Come on now.
Sometimes, right?
Yeah.
We fall, but we get back up.
Yeah.
We're perplexed. Hallelujah. But we're not despair. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise
amen.
His name. Why? Because we have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. We have His power, and that's why we're commanded to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's a choice that we have to make. It's a mental decision that we have to make every day. And so the children were right. Born on this day, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's born in our heart every day when we give Him lordship. He's born in our heart every day when we give Him the obedience that He desires, because He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
He's born on this day when we decide, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. Because I belong to You, and worthy are You to use me to be to Your glory, praise, and honor. Do you know that's an honor and a privilege to be used by God, to be chosen by God, to do His bidding? It's an honor and a privilege. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Let me get back on track, beloved. But I'm here to tell us that the Word became flesh because of love. Love for you and I. God was not going to be satisfied to see us wallow in our sinful ways. He made provision even when Adam sinned. He was deceived. He made provision so that they would not stay in that state. And God is still making provision for us. And that's why we need to thank God every day for his grace. Thank God every day for his favor. Thank God every day for his forgiveness of our sins and our misdeeds. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Now let me jump down to verse 10. He was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Why? Because they did not perceive the fact that he was the Son of God. Watch this. You see, we look at our neighbor, our brothers and sisters in Christ, as another human being. We judge them based on what they wear, how they talk, what kind of car they drive, what kind of neighborhood they live in, what kind of education. We don't recognize that in them is the Spirit of the living God. We don't recognize that God has deemed them so valuable that he deposited his Spirit in them. And in them is the ability to work miracles. See, we don't see ourselves as the righteousness of God, the royal priesthood, the holy nation. We don't see ourselves as the authority in the earth that God has given us. But we see ourselves the way the world sees ourselves. But the Bible tells us very clearly. He says he was in the world did not know him. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. Beloved, we should not be guilty of that now.
Amen.
That person beside you is precious in the sight of the Lord. His son died for that individual. He suffered a gruesome death leading up to that death. I can't even, fathom the kind of pain and torture he went through. The Bible says his very visage, his countenance, it was unrecognizable. And he did that for your neighbor. So who are we to judge our neighbor?
Yes.
Owe no man except to love him. Isn't that what the scripture says?
Yes.
But we got to release that love in the power and the spirit and the understanding of God.
Amen.
And see, I even see sinners differently now.
Yes.
Because
yes.
God made them in his own image.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, he's the one who lights the life of every man comes into the world. And so we need to see people in a different light. We're the highest creation of God. God has given us charge. I shouldn't say charge. God has given us the ability to call angels into our service. Can you imagine that? And these are sinless creatures, the ones in heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, let me clarify. The ones in heaven, because there's some... There's some devilish angels
walking around,
right, Maddie, with pants and dresses on. Leave that alone. But the point I'm trying to make is that the righteousness of God, those are people who deserve our highest honor. I'll never forget something Eileen Baskerville, many of you older saints who've been around, remember her. Eileen says, look, I will do the best, provide the best that God will possibly allow me for God's people. That has always stuck with me. Because why? She understood and knew that we are precious in the sight of the Lord. Okay, verse 13. Talking about the sons of God. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Why? Because we were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. When we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as God's ultimate gift for us to live his life through us, the Bible says we jettisoned our will. We jettisoned that old sinful human nature, and we became the righteousness of God. We were born of the Spirit. We were baptized, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and we became manifestation of the will of God, because the Bible tells us that it is God's will that all, none perish, but all come to the knowledge of the truth. Spirit of love. And so we can see from a fact that God himself looks at us and he sees his son Jesus Christ and not us. And then in verse 14 it says, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I want to suggest to you, beloved, two reasons why the Word became flesh. And I mentioned it earlier, that because of God's love for us, because of Jesus' love for his Father and his obedience to be willing to sacrifice his life, because of his love for humankind, the Word became flesh. Now our challenge is the flesh needs to be transformed to become more like the Word. I'll say that again. That went over your head. Our flesh needs to be transformed to become more like the Word. And because we have the Spirit of God living in us and we have the ability to choose God in his way, we can transform our thinking, which will transform our habits, which will transform our character, which will transform our way of living. So instead of being people who do, we become people who are in Christ Jesus. And that's ultimately what Jesus Christ came for. You know, we're living beneath our privilege when we do things according to our own thought process, our own understanding, our own abilities. We're living beneath our privilege. And God is telling us as a people, and he's giving us direction for the new year, that it's time for a change, beloved.
Yes.
It's time to embrace the fact that God wants to do great and mighty things through his people. And it doesn't take a whole lot. It just takes people who are committed, who are fully persuaded that God is able to do all things. Did not the angel tell Mary that with God all things are possible? Nothing is impossible with God. And now I say the same to us, that nothing is impossible with God. And it's through our prayers, it's through our belief and our doing according to his good pleasure that we're going to manifest that. So he came because he loved us. He came because he wanted to show us the way. He wanted to model for us how we can have a relationship with God through his example. And that's why Romans tells us, you know, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service or form of worship, that we not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Because God wants us to understand that all we have to do is to be obedient. All we have to do is be willing to sacrifice the things that we don't need anyway, so that God can be magnified and glorified in our bodies. God can be magnified and glorified by our actions. We have, you know what? God put this on my heart. We have the ability to affect generations.
Well, yes, we do.
The ability to affect generations. because his mercy endures to all generations. And all it takes is one man, one woman, who is fully convinced that, look, Lord, is your way or no way.
Yes. Yes.
And the beauty of it is God doesn't expect perfection from us. He expects our motivation to be, to do, and to be what he designed and created us to be. That's all. The more I look at the life of David, the more I understand and know that, look, if God can call him a man after his own heart, all the drama he went through, and the wake of people he hurt, not only as a king, but in his family, all the damage is done. We've not experienced anything like that. Person looking us the wrong way and we get offended. Should not be.
Amen.
Because the Word became flesh.
Yes.
And he dwells among us.
Yes.
He dwells among the believers. Hallelujah. He has given us all things that pertain unto life and unto godliness. Bible tells us that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, sat him at the right hand of the Father, is the same power that he gave the church.
Yes.
And that's you and I.
Thank you.
So when we think about this season of Christmas, with thanksgiving in our hearts, with the understanding and knowing that, look, we are God's representatives in the earth, with an appreciation that every human being that God has placed on this earth is of value to him. Why? Because he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
He became begotten because he loves you and I. He loves that sinner man, that sinner woman. And that the greatest gift that we can give for Christmas is to begin to transform our way of thinking first. And then when we get it, when that thing clicks in our spirit and we begin to walk in the revelation, and the understanding, and the power of God, he anoints us so we can do the same for others. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we thank you. We bless you. We give you all praise and all glory for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God, that because of your love, what manner of love is this? That the Father would commend his love toward us while we were yet sinners. And Father, I pray that as we consider the magnitude of your love for us every day, and as we, Lord, look at those people that you've placed in our spheres of influence, Lord, beginning in our own homes, that we would see them differently, Lord. That we would see them, Lord God, in an expression of your image, your likeness, and that our warfare is not with flesh and blood, but it's against rulers of wickedness in high places, against the darkness of this world. It's against the antichrist of this world, Satan and his minions. Lord God, we thank you and we bless you, Lord God, that every day is an opportunity for you to do a miracle in our lives. So Lord, as you continue to sanctify us, you continue, Lord God, to show us great and mighty things as we seek you with our whole heart. Lord, we avail ourselves to be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Lord, we just thank you. We bless you, Lord God, and we're excited to be your people during these special times in history.